So, we all have pretty different talents and abilities and skills, and we've accomplished many of us have accomplished several things through that. But I want to ask you to think of a time, maybe in the past, where maybe you patted yourself on the back, admittedly maybe a little bit too much for that accomplishment or thing that you did, or just about the skill that you have. Or maybe you can think of someone else who has that sort of attitude, as my mother would say, like they're the last Coca-Cola in the desert. Very arrogant, or just very thinks very highly of themselves. Or maybe you've done that. Well, it's something we all struggle with and has existed for a while. And one of the earliest accounts, one of the earliest, not the earliest, but one of the earliest accounts of this was at the Tower of Babel, which is a very shared story. But the Tower of Babel occurred an unknown amount of time after God flooded the earth, leaving only Noah and his family. And essentially, Noah, at this point, Noah's descendants had begun to populate the earth. And the whole world still had one language and one common speech. This group of people moved eastward and found the plain Shinar, where they set up camp and started building a civilization for themselves. And as they began building up the civilization, the city in the plain of Shinar, they told each other, like, you know what? We're doing pretty well. Let's make some bricks and bake them in an oven, which essentially makes the bricks much more stronger. Yeah, and let's just like build a tower towards the heavens. We could totally do it, so that we could make a name for ourselves, and that way we won't be scattered all over the face of the whole earth. And as they started constructing this tower, God came down and saw what they were doing and said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they'll not understand each other. So when God came down to stop them from building this tower, he changed up all their languages to the point where they couldn't understand each other. And it's very hard to work together on a construction project if you don't know what your coworkers are saying. So they were forced to stop building the city, or building the tower, and had to leave it as it was. And they ended up scattering over the earth directly the opposite of they wanted. This story isn't that long, but it does hold a good lesson in it. More commonly, especially when I was growing up, I knew it as the origin of the world's languages. This was the origin of where all the different languages came from. And this was very much humanity's second start after the destruction of the flood. But oftentimes, a question that I even asked when I was reading it was like, why did God just change up all languages, confuse everyone, and scatter humans across the globe? And the main reason, really analyzing the story, that the reason he did that was because of their hubris or their pride. When the people of Shinar started building this tower, they weren't going about it in like, oh yeah, with God's help, we can build this really cool tower, essentially a skyscraper. They went about building it, talking about how they could do it themselves. They believed that they could build a tower to heaven on their own, so without God's help. And the reason why God came down and scrambled their languages is because this tower would represent essentially rebellion, and it would send a message to the rest of humanity, like, hey, look at what we can do without God. we don't need him. We can build a really cool tower. And just to put it in context, towers, like buildings of this height, and based on research of any art of like old archaeological digs of what they think might be the tower, it could have reached up to 100 meters in height, which for this time was an astonishing feat. Buildings didn't normally reach that high. And even with its partial completion, this plain of Shinar became Babylon and Babylonia, which is very symbolic in the Bible and even today for humanity's opposition to God. If God had allowed that tower to be completed, it was true. They could do anything they put their minds to, but not necessarily good things. And it would have been a direct opposition to God. It was because they started building this tower full of pride and hubris and very thinking very high of themselves that God began to oppose them. Which ties into this week's memory verse, James 4:6. That is why scripture says, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. And the issue of pride is still very much a prevalent thing today. It's something that we all struggle with, even as people who are saved and believe in Jesus and people that everyone in the world still struggles with pride. Some of them have allowed it to take more completely. And there are several dangerous things about pride, but the biggest thing that pride does is that it weakens character. The effect of pride can also be described as basically put a blindfold on yourself and start walking around your house. Occasionally, you might hurt someone else if you run into them, or you might hurt yourself, stub your toe on a table or something, or run into a corner. And you're basically just denying it. Like, nope, I'm totally fine. I can totally walk around my house without needing to see. This blindness basically doesn't allow you to admit when you've made mistakes and blinds you to issues with other people or within yourself. It becomes very easy to damage other people if you're not aware of what you're doing, or maybe because of your because of pride, you don't really care. You think that what you're doing is right and everything that you decide to do is totally called for, then you might end up damaging other people. Or you could also damage yourself. It is not just affecting other people, it could damage yourself. A very common example that I can think of as a real-world example is like Hispanic machismo and masculinity back from where in my country. It is very common for a Hispanic guy in South America to have never seen a doctor. They don't think they need one. They think they're totally fine. And oftentimes when they're approached, like, hey, you should probably get checked up, make sure everything's okay, they're like, eh, no, I'm totally fine. I'm perfectly fit. I don't need to go see a doctor. And oftentimes they are forced to go see a doctor because at some point issues come up, things are pushed to the extreme, and they're not given a choice. And essentially what they've done to themselves is that not only have they hurt themselves physically, but once they're brought to the realization, oh wait, I probably should have done that, they're also embarrassed. So saying just kind of hits you while you're down. Another thing that pride does is that it can also stilt you spiritually. Pride can be seen as like a launching pad for other sins. If you think really highly of yourself and you think that you're basically at the peak and you don't need to change, it becomes very easy to excuse actions that normally you know would be wrong. And you just can go ahead and do them. You start letting things slide. In this case, that could be sin. Another example I can think of is my very first church. I'm sure they thought very high of themselves, and because of that, they got greedy. And they said, yeah, it's totally fun. We can totally take the tithes given to us to the church and use it to fund our own wealth. Or in the case of the pastor, like, yeah, I'm pretty high up. I'm the pastor. I can do whatever I want. And he committed several sexually immoral sins. Stephen, the woman who warned his wife, things like that. And it's still any growth of character that you might have. If you think nothing is wrong with you, then nothing, you don't think anything needs to change, and you won't grow. So, pride is something we all struggle with, and oftentimes, we try to go find ways to deal with it. Oftentimes, the treatment for pride is humility. It isn't really the right way to go about it if you were to just say, all right, I'm not going to be prideful. Because it's a very different set way of thinking. If you're focused on not doing something, then you're still leaving room for other sins to be committed. Humility is much more of a reminder to yourself. And so if to address pride, the focus is to be humble. And the best example of that was Jesus. He taught us the opposite of pride. He was the opposite of pride. He chose to self-limit himself and come down as a human, as a servant, and save all of us from sin. And it's very interesting if you were to look at the core personalities of both Jesus and Satan. Obviously, they're opposites, but Satan is a very prideful entity. He thought he could be God and overthrow God, while Jesus was very much all about humility and serving others without seeking credit. He taught about giving to the needy, praying, fasting in secret, just to show that it's genuine and you're not seeking pride. When he did miracles, often very early on, he didn't really seek credit for any of it, or he did it in hiding. He would sneak away before people would like figure out what he did. Jesus didn't show off what he could do. He didn't flaunt it around. And with Jesus, oftentimes it is best to look at an example for when addressing pride. And in terms of if you're struggling with it, it very much goes back to, I think it's been mentioned before, but sharing the gospel with yourself all the time, every day. Reminding yourself, hey, everything that I have, God graciously gave to me. And God sacrificed his only son, and Jesus obeyed death on the cross to save us. There's that, and then you can also, and this counts for both leaders, you don't have to be a leader to be able to do this, but willfully submitting yourself to accountability, making sure that you're staying on a humble path, and we're all prone to it, getting too full of ourselves and thinking highly of ourselves. But Jesus is the ultimate example of pride. Or not pride, humility. Jesus is the ultimate example of humility. And oftentimes, one of my core verses that I use to remind myself of this is Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is a gift of God. So, the thing that I'll leave you guys with, that it wasn't the pride of humanity and a tower built to the heavens that brought us to heaven, but it was the humility of the Son of God who obeyed death on the cross that brought us to heaven. Let's pray. God, we thank you that we have the opportunity to be here and gather today and talk about your word. We thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus did for us, and that we're able to remind ourselves of his humility and sacrifice in order to combat our prideful tendencies, and just to keep in mind the effect that we might have on ourselves and on each other, and that we use Jesus as the ultimate example, making sure that we stay humble. In every prayer, amen.